Get ready to rock radio. Music you want to hear.
Welcome along to a weekly roundup of latest playlist additions, and a little bit different this week because we're introducing you, or rather the artist himself is introducing you, to a brand new album released this week, and that's Michael Armstrong, the album hashtag Looking for the World. Now, Mike first came to our attention with his debut album, self-titled debut, back around about 2015. The album was reissued a year later, and our reviews editor Jason Ritchie commented, "Do yourself a favour, download or buy a copy of this album. Top quality pop rock from start to finish." Now you can check out a review of that album at getreadytorock.com in the album review section. I'm sure Jason will be reviewing the latest release. And let's hear now from Michael Armstrong.
The new album is called Hashtag Looking for the World. It's not a concept album in the true sense of the word, but it is an album with a concept. The songs are written and, most importantly, recorded with a nod to the great music of the past. The hashtag in the album title is meant in irony. Everyone's glued to their phones these days, including me. We never look up and see what's around us, and particularly over these last few years, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I love the music of the 70s, Steely Dan, Eagles, Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd, ELO, Supertramp. And I love the classic singer-songwriters, McCartney, Dylan, Billy Joel, James Taylor, Brian Wilson, and more recently, Ben Folds. You know, you can hear their influence all over this album, quite purposely. I'm looking back through the rose-tinted spectacles of middle age at where I am now in my life, what's happened to me and around me, and we've recreated the sound of the past to complement that with 14 completely new and original songs. That's the concept. The opening track is Too Many Cars. It's a schizophrenic song, unlike anything else on the album, and yet it encompasses a lot of the elements of the songs that follow it, instrument-wise and theme-wise.
I know what I need to know right now.
What I need,
I feel just how I wanna feel.
There's too many cars now, there's too many people now, and finally, there's just too many thoughts in my head. Those thoughts make up the 13 songs that follow.
Too many thoughts in my head.
The idea of doing the time is based upon that old adage of men saying, "I've been married for 20 years, I'd have got less for murder." But the song itself is really me looking back to those early teenage years when you, or at least I did, have several girlfriends on the go and you're trying to juggle things without getting into trouble.
I'm sick of sweet alibis, teardrops of truth in your eyes.
My demo was very different from this final version. It was a far more laid-back kind of take that Gary Barlow feel. Warren Bennett, my producer, completely turned it on its head. It's now a foot-stomping pop song that pays homage to that Jeff Lynne ELO classic sound.
At the time of my life, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I had to make you love me. Looking for clues, living a sign. I'm doing the time.
I'm loving and I'm doing the time.
Following on from that, next year I would have been married for 20 years. Gold Dust is an out-and-out love song for my wife. But it can also be taken in a wider concept to women and mothers everywhere. I do take things for granted, and I don't thank my wife enough for everything she does. I suspect we're all guilty of that. Song says, thanks for bringing up my children so well, and as well as looking after us all and keeping things happy and just all together. I had James Taylor in mind when I wrote it, and I think and hope that comes across. She's All Kooky was based on a music and a melody that Warren Bennett, the producer, had written, but he didn't have any real lyrics for. I loved it the moment he played it to me, as even in its demo form you could hear that Tom Petty vibe and the Beach Boys, and it just makes you smile. It's a happy, vibrant pop song.
Pockets, she's been stealing my phone.
I wanted to make the lyrics fit that feeling, and so I came up with the idea of this really lovely and pretty but kind of slightly deranged girl. And a lot of Tom Petty's songs have great humour in them, and I tried the same. She's been ducking down alleys, she's been stalking the night, she'll give some poor son of a gun a fright. I talked about Tom Petty at most of the sessions, as we're both great fans, and his influence is all over the album, and this song in particular. Just as we were finishing the overdubbing, we learned of his sudden death. We were both in shock, you know. This song means all the more to me because of that, and I hope we've done him justice.
Son of a gun afraid.
Periscope, lyrically, is about my frustrations with the music business. Now, after releasing when I released my debut album in 2015, I was on national TV and radio, and I toured the country two or three times over. It's an incredibly hard and frustrating business, and it's virtually impossible to make a living from it. Only a tiny majority manage that. I'm not talking the life of Keith Richards or Rod Stewart or something. I'm talking about paying a modest mortgage and bringing up a family.
Still here alone. With the bitching and biting, I'm scarred from the fighting. I cower covertly. I build a wall of protection, shun all affection.
The business has changed so much. The way people consume music, the way radio is so limited by playlist policies, the way TV and press are so celebrity obsessed, and the way record companies will not support or even take the slightest gamble on artists and bands. You know, I've been incredibly successful in comparison to a lot of artists out there.
Climbing the rungs on the ladder of hope, I try to proceed with precaution and cope.
Supertramp are one of my all-time favourite bands, and I wrote this song on an electric piano, which immediately gave me that kind of logical song feel. When the saxophone solo comes in at the end of the song, it could be them. I smile every time I hear it.
Looking at you.
for the World is the title track and sums up the main theme of the album. It's a pick-me-up song.
The senseless side of sensitivity.
Now, going back to the frustrations of the music business and just the frustrations of everyday living, since I was around 9 years old, I wanted to make my mark on the world with music. I've strived for over 30 years to do that, and it's only in the last 5 years that I've managed to get anywhere close.
And cracks cut through the paper. Stop looking for the world.
The release of the last album and nearly 2 years on the road, and then whilst working on this album, I suddenly realised that the source of my great pain and anger was the very act of looking for the world. You know, stop, look around you, look what you've already achieved, look what you have, not what you don't have. I've done some incredible things, met some amazing people, and I have my family. I'm a very, very lucky man. I'm doing what I love and what I always set out to do.
When the road is out to grind you, and the smoke just seems to blind you, stop looking for the world. If your back's about to break you, and the cracks in crisis shake you, stop looking for the world.
See this album in the old-fashioned sense of having a side one and a side two. A Love That's True ends side one. It's a McCartney-esque acoustic number and does what it says on the tin.
Filled my head with thoughts of you. I could hear the bluebirds humming. The sound of
Warren producing it wanted it to be as personal and close as possible, and so the instrumentation is very sparse and the vocal is very close with little reverb. You know, you want it to sound like we're playing in your living room in front of you.
A love that's true. Ooh. I've always been a lucky man, doing all the things I can, coming up smelling of roses. And beauty hides itself within, like the thorn upon a stem. That's just how nature juxtaposes. But this is as clear as the sky I'm gazing on. This is a love that's true.
Side 2 is darker all round than Side 1, and it starts with The Haunting of Hetty Biggs. And I've mentioned already how difficult it is to make a living out of making music, and as an aside, I've been working in music PR for the last few years to help make ends meet.
You try to step in closer, but tread upon the twigs. Awake the haunting.
Lisa Davis Promotions, we are employed by managers, labels, our artists and bands direct to promote their music. Our job is to get them on the radio and TV and raise their profile and help to make them a success.
And all your words of wisdom get swallowed by the pain.
As a result, I come across and work with a lot of fantastic music and musicians.
With the creaking of these digs.
We are very good at what we do and are successful and well-known and respected. And we get a lot of artists on, a lot of music on radio and TV. But then I will switch on the radio and hear songs on rotation that don't deserve to be there. I'll pick up magazines and read articles and artists that don't deserve that exposure. I'll switch on the TV and see the latest No Talent celebrity talking about their new song. That is The Haunting of Hetty Biggs.
No, so far to go till you double death.
The first few lines of Gypsy are based on a true story. I was on Parliament Hill, dressed up smart, because I'd been invited to the House of Commons for a lunch. While I waited outside, I was approached by a gypsy selling Lucky Heather and insisting I take it from her and then give her some cash in return. I had no money on me, and I explained that I was a musician and therefore I didn't have any money to spare at all. Plus, I had a wife and three kids that immediately took any money that I did earn. She wouldn't give up and took offence at my tone, eventually gripping my face and muttering a deadly curse. I wrote the song as soon as I got home.
She touches my face and mutters a curse. I reach into a bag and I steal her purse, that gypsy.
There's a lot of Bob Dylan about the song. Warren's production ideas were spot on, and it starts with me and guitar alone, as if I'm busking outside a tube station, and then one by one different musicians join me, until by the end of the song there's like a whole jamboree going on. It'll make a great video.
So I got into my car and I found her road, that gypsy of Parliament Hill. Me arrested and detained on account of theft. My mother suicidal, my dad bereft. Oh, gypsy of Parliament Hill.
This green and unpleasant land is a real rocker with a bit of a political edge to it. My demo wasn't an acoustic guitar-based kind of ditty, but Warren transformed it and wrote several new parts, as well as the horn arrangement, which is like kind of key to the track. It's a powerhouse. You know, there's a bit of Stones and Springsteen in there.
It's breaking just like ice. Bandits taking life at a price. Thieves in their suits and shoes, trying to earn more every day than they lose.
Lyrically, it's kind of a frank look at modern times and what we're currently living through. The politics, the dumbing down, the money, society. And I don't count myself out of it. I say I don't get no golden halo. I'm as far from pure as they go.
Saturn sang with sanctimony on my ranch with Fifi's pony. I'll never understand this green and unpleasant.
I'm not doing a Bono and preaching. I'm as much a part of it as everyone else. That doesn't mean I have to like it or that I even understand it.
There's too many mouths to feed in a climate of corruption and greed.
I wrote A Place in My Game when I was around 16 or 17 years old, I think. And when Warren first agreed to work with me on the album, I sent him everything I'd ever demoed, including songs from way back. He picked up on this one straight away and just felt it had something about it. It's quite biting and a little nasty lyrically, but it's set against this laid-back and nice kind of chordal progression.
If your eyes have got nothing to say, instead I've got to think about the one I love and I do.
I remember at the time of writing it, I was really getting into Billy Joel, and the chord structure is based upon very similar chords to Billy Joel's Allentown, which is one of my favourite songs of his, and one that I actually did a cover of on my debut album.
I wouldn't let you have a chance to explain, I'd leave you well alone.
Warren came up with a brilliant idea of adding a slide guitar into the song, and his playing is brilliant, very reminiscent of George Harrison. When you add that to the chugging guitars and the drums and the strumming of the acoustics, it kind of becomes an homage to the Travelling Wilburys. I love the feel of the song. Warren's playing on this and throughout the rest of the album is first class. He's a fantastic musician and producer. And we have identical tastes in music. And you know, this album is definitely the culmination of the meeting of two like minds.
I wouldn't offer you a place in my game. Every day you keep on walking in those shoes.
Those Shoes is one of the last songs we wrote for the album. I came up with some nice jazzy chords and Warren added the kind of solo and outro ideas.
There's so much we can see together, you and me, making out to the sound.
I'm a huge Steely Dan fan and my thought was always to kind of strive for their sound with this track. Elliot Randall, who famously played guitar on a number of Steely Dan albums and also featured on my debut album, I called him up and asked if he'd like to play on this song, and he agreed, and that gives the track some real authenticity. It's deceptively simple and yet wonderfully intricate in both music and lyrics. There's a kind of juxtaposition between the verses and the chorus. On the one hand, there's this peacefulness and serenity of driving through the countryside and being in love, and then there's the warning and trepidation in the choruses. If we keep on walking in these shoes the way we are headed, then, well, that's one way to shake the blues.
That's one way to lose the blues.
I could listen to the outro of this song forever. There's interplay between three soloists, Keith Bailey on one guitar, Elliot Randall on the other guitar, and Ed Barker on the saxophone. The musicianship is phenomenal and just beautiful. Ed's sax and Keith's guitars features across the album, and they're always spot on. Rose's Brother is the kind of faux ending of the album, and it's in two distinct parts. The song and story itself definitely have tones of Billy Joel in there, and it tells the somewhat elusive and complicated tale of a guy who has some serious issues to deal with. They're issues that many of us have to face, and it's all down to each individual how we face them and how we deal with them. Rose's Brother does it his way, and I think in the end he'll be all right.
But that bro ain't black, honey, have some dignity.
The outro again was Warren's idea, and it gives a massive nod to the Beatles. If you're going to make an album that pays homage to the great music of the past, then you have to include the greatest band of all time. You know, no one will ever match what the Beatles achieved. They're body of work is insurmountable. The songs they wrote and the music they recorded will last forever. Simon Lockyer recorded the strings all across the album like he did on my debut album. Now, I don't think I'd ever want to make an album without him. The outro of Rose's Brother is the perfect example of his genius, really. It's all happening as it builds and builds. It's wonderful. And there's a bit of a Floydian surprise at the end, just to make sure we ticked all the boxes. Wanted the album to end on a positive note, and Queen of Hearts was always the track that would do just that. It's a short acoustic number that, when I wrote it, I kind of had Don Henley, the Eagles, in mind.
I tried to earn a living.
It sums up and ends the album perfectly. Some people believe in heaven and forget about the earth, spend a life of time dreaming of how it's going to be,
and forget about the earth.
We need to live in the here and now and appreciate what we have. Stop looking for the world. You already have it. ultimately, it's all about love, you know, the people you love and those that love you. That's heaven.
The Queen of Hearts tonight. I was dealt the Queen of Hearts tonight.
Ah, yes. Our thanks to Michael Armstrong, introducing his brand new album out Friday the 23rd. His website is michaelarmstrongmusic.co.uk. You'll find out more at the website, order the album, and some great sentiments expressed in that 20-minute or so feature. We thank him again. And not least about the music industry from somebody who's on the inside and outside, really, and some great sentiments too about musical influences. They're all in the mix. Great production, and really a step on from the debut album that came out around about 2015. And Jason Ritchie, our reviews editor at GetReadyToRock.com, commented then on the wonderfully crafted songs. Yes, well, they continue on the album. Hashtag looking for the world, the music of Michael Armstrong.
Between rock and a hard rock place. Get ready to rock radio.
And that concludes New to GRTR for this week. Hope you enjoyed the special feature by way of a little change. Join us every Sunday live at 2100 hours. We're repeated during the week. Tuesday at 1600. If you missed that feature, we will be repeating it again this week. Tuesday 1600 and Thursday 2100 GMT.